Please turn your Bibles with me once again to Matthew chapter 6. You say, Brother Ross, you really went through the first part of the Sermon on the Mount pretty fast, but now you got a holding pattern over the field of the model prayer. Well, because I think it's very important, all the things that we've learned. You know, in the Soviet Union, not too long ago, they would take your Bibles, if you had any Bibles. The Christians had maybe just a few pages of the Bible that they shared with one another now and again. Bibles were forbidden. Prayer was forbidden. But though they could take the Bibles, they couldn't take the hearts of the Christians away. And they would pray for each other and pray for, you know, revival. They would pray for each other to be safe as they met 1:30, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning out in the cold Russian woods. And would spend a couple hours in worship. About an hour of that time would be singing. Half hour of that time would be praises to God, prayer requests. And then for 30 or 45 minutes, the preacher would preach, being careful how loud he was, lest they be discovered. And that was the Russian Christians not that long ago, up until, what was it, 91, wasn't it? About 1991. Now they have more religious freedom than we do. As they're leaving communism, America seems to be rushing headlong into it with some of these new candidates getting ready to run for president. But nevertheless, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, "In this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Last Sunday, we saw how the Lord Jesus tells us to approach God. We approach Him as His little children who believe He is the very highest one. He's the best one we can come to for help and blessing. To not look to man first, you know, but to look to God first. You may need to go to the doctor, but you should be praying before you go to the doctor. You should be praying that God gives him the wisdom. Even the Mayo Clinic, for all its great doctors, they misdiagnosed the problem 30% of the time. That says, seven out of 10 times they get it right. 3 out of 10 times they get it wrong. And so as we look at this, we see that God is to be our refuge. He's to be our healer. You know, even when you go to the doctor, when they treat you, they may give you chemicals. They may open up a wound. They may take something out. They may fix something that's inside. But only God can heal. Only God can give strength. Only He can give us energy. And so Psalm 61, verse 1 and following, teaches us these words. I love this passage, Psalm 61 and 63, but Psalm 61 says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." Born again believers, we come to God as our Father in heaven. He sees us, He sees everything, sees all that's going to happen before it happens. He knows it, He planned it, and He cares for anything and everything that has to do with us. There is no burden so big but that God isn't able to hear and answer your prayer. And there is no problem so small that God doesn't hear it when you take it to Him in prayer. He already knows. Go to Him and talk to Him about it. Born-again believers come to God knowing that He loves to hear and answer prayer. And so we go to Him in Jesus' name. We come to Him as dear children through Jesus and God's love for us in sending us His Son, coming in Christ's righteousness. You know, Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace." We're His children. We come in Jesus' name. We come to God in His righteousness, in Jesus' righteousness. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But as we come now, this is the first request in prayer. The first part of the prayer is to get us focused on God, to get us in that loving relationship, that loving frame of mind, that accepting frame of mind, that God so loved us that He made us His children through the blood of His Son, that He's high and holy. There's none better that we could ever ask for anything from. And now we come to the first request, and that is, hallowed be Your name. And to hallow means to set apart as holy. It's distinct, it's different, it's sacred, it's precious or special. The names of God are to be special. Hallowed be Your name. And He's got several names in the Bible, none of which is Jehovah. That's a German translation slang of God's name, Yahweh. As we've said before, Hebrew, no letter J. If you wanted to say Jesus in Hebrew, it would be Yeshua with a Y. If you're going to say it in Greek, it would be Jesus. If you were going to say it in Spanish, it would be Jesus. But they don't even pronounce the J they have there. And so, the names of God. You know, this verse here kind of inspired me years ago to do a series on the names of God. But we would still be in that study and what all those names mean probably by now if we hadn't shortened it to one of the names of God every week. And His names are precious because they describe His nature, His characters. These are names He's chosen for Himself and put in His Word forever. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God's name is a great shelter that we run to in a time of storm. So to hallow is to set apart as holy, sacred, precious, or special. The names of God are to be special to us, precious to us, holy to us, sacred, and high above all other names. We sing songs about the wonderful name of Jesus, and we'll talk about that. And we're to honor and love the name of our Heavenly Father. Jesus' name is to be so sweet and precious to us that there is no other name we love so well. The name of the sweet Holy Spirit must never be blasphemed, but blessed. You know, the sin, the unpardonable sin, has to do with blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And the people say that, well, that's a final rejection of the gospel. That's what that means. He says, no. Jesus said it's something that men speak. It's something they say. It's a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is an unpardonable sin. And usually those people are judged very quickly and openly who do that. Jesus' name must be set apart. The Holy Spirit's name, the name of our Father. Job, when he was tested with a trial that no man has ever suffered before, the only other ones' sufferings that were harsher than Job's were those of those sufferings of our Lord Jesus. And as his children are killed in one day, as he loses all his cattle in one day, after he loses his health in one day, after he's going through excruciating pain and torture with this disease that he was afflicted with, what did Job say? The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. First of all, we see here the glory and honor of God is to be our focus, our primary focus and desire when we come in prayer. There's so many times we come in prayer that we're trying to get something for ourselves, that we're thinking about our own concerns, we're thinking about our own comforts. But Jesus said, no, first of all, when you come to God in prayer, your primary focus and desire should be for His glory. Therefore, if I need a car, I would say, Heavenly Father, you know I love You. I know You love me. I come to You asking if it be for Jesus' glory, if it be for Your glory, that I get a car, that I don't have to wait upon man, that I don't have to be delayed on the way to work, that I don't have to be stuck when I need to be somewhere else. If it be for Your glory, Lord, and it pleases You, please help me get a car and help me get the right car. You know? And so that's what this has to do with when we come to God in prayer. What is the chief purpose of man? This is the Baptist Catechism and the Protestant Catechisms. Westminster Catechism, Presbyterians, right? What is the chief purpose of man? They ask the first question when they're instructing children and people considering church membership. What is the chief end of man? What is the ultimate purpose of man? The answer, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I like what John Piper says, that the best way to glorify God is enjoy Him. Is praising Him, is relishing in Him, is basking in His love, is enjoying who He is and what He's done for you. And so to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, that's our chief purpose. And so when we come to God in prayer, we come on familiar terms, we can come boldly. We say, Our Father, Jesus is with me. The Holy Spirit is helping to intercede for me. Our Father who is in heaven from the highest throne. In a place where though I'm troubled, you're completely at peace. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Heavenly Father, I want to glorify you with my life. I don't want my life to be just spinning my wheels. I don't want my life to be purposeless, like a ship without a rudder, like a ship without a sail. I want to be living for your glory. Lord, some people say that prayer means praise, request, adoration, and the last one, the why. Then you can focus on you. Yeah, that would be good. And then as we look at the scripture here, let's quote some scriptures that have to do about God's name. Hallowed be your name. Here the scripture says, and I'm just going to quote a few. There's so many places we could go to. But here we go. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Another one. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. And then again, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. How excellent is his name. Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. And then here God says himself, I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared, reverenced among the nations. Again, the scripture says, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And this illustration, as we look at what the names of God are and what the Bible says about them, to honor God's name is more precious, more important than life itself. The early Christians and all the martyrs under Nero and ever since then in all the countries, when they came time for them to refuse Jesus' name, to deny Jesus' name, they gave their lives instead for that most precious name. They refused to deny him. There is one God, and he's manifest in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will not deny the name of the Lord Jesus. We see them singing about his glorious name, even as they burned at the stake, even as they were eaten by wild animals. And so we call them martyrs because they were living witnesses and they were dying witnesses of that great name. There, I like that verse where Peter and John are before the Pharisees, and they've already had them in prison all night after beating them. And that says there in Acts 4:12, in their answer to the enemies, they say, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. Near also, Jesus is teaching us that the glory of God's name is to influence all the other things we pray for. As the Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. When you pray, do you pray so that God will be glorified or that you will be comforted or you have something you want? Someone may pray, this is a good illustration I wrote down. And so please, you know, this has been helpful to me with it, especially Christian women over the years. They pray, Pastor, pray for my husband. I feel so alone in church, and I don't want him to go to hell. My husband's a good man. He's a good provider. He's a faithful husband. I want my husband in church with me. And though I don't say, well, that's something you shouldn't pray for, I guide them to a more scriptural position where they say, Lord, save my husband. Lord, save my wife. I don't want them to go to hell. They need you so much, and it would bring me great comfort and joy. That's not a prayer to be, you know, casting aspersions on. But this prayer is more scriptural. Let them pray more like, Lord, please save my loved one. They need to give you glory as their God and Savior. They need to be giving you glory for your mercy, your loving kindness, and the great gift of your Son. So let your great mercy and your power be magnified by saving such a sinner. They don't deserve heaven. They deserve hell. They try to be good, but God, there's none righteous, no, not one. So let your power and your grace be magnified by saving them. Bring them to their knees before your majesty and your saving love. Bring them to love the name of Jesus and to worship your Son. I'll give you glory and praise for saving them. Let everyone see the power of your word, Father, and the wonders of your grace in saving them. One is God-centered, because your loved one may be good, and you may love them an awful lot, but they're going to split hell wide open without Jesus as their Savior. They're a sinner, an abomination to God, unless he shows compassion and pity and grace and mercy. Number two, how God's name is to be honored, how it's to be set apart, how it's to be holy, how it's to be hallowed, how God's name is to be served in such regard. First of all, take the name of the Lord Jesus upon you. So many people are afraid to let others know they're Christians because they know they're far from perfect. Well, at least if you can't say that Christ is your Savior, at least behave like Christ is your Savior. A lot of people take his name and then do terrible things to others in front of people, treat others with disdain. They treat others with a disgust. They treat others they themselves are the only ones going to heaven. They thump them over the head with the Bible. They talk down to them. Never be ashamed to be called a Christian, but more important, strive to live up to that name. Esteem the name of Christ as most precious. I don't know how many times I've seen this happen, but shortly after I got saved, I wanted to talk about Jesus. I couldn't shut up about him. I loved him so much. And when you love somebody, you tell everybody about him, you know. You can't be quiet about it. And I remember going into a barber shop with my friend Ted. And on one, I didn't know it took up the whole corner space. On one side it said unisex. I thought, oh, they're going to try to make women look like men and men look like women. Unisex. So we went to the other side of the building than the barber shop. I didn't know it was part of the same complex. And so we sat down there. Ted was like, you remember Bob's Big Boy? The model of it? That was Ted. Looked just like him. He was a big boy. We sat down there and he sat in the chair across from me. We were going to the same church and stuff. And I couldn't help it. While they're giving me a haircut, and they got it a little close, if you ask me. But while they were giving me a haircut, I said, I couldn't help it. I just said, what was his name, Tim? Is that what I said? Yeah, Tim. And what's that? Ted, that's it. Ever since Ted Kennedy, I never much cared for that name. But anyways, I said, Ted, man, I can't help it, but I love Jesus, brother, don't you? Do you love Jesus, Ted? As soon as I said that, all the other conversations at all the other barber chairs and the beauty things went dead silent. Why? I just used a name that's set apart from all other names. Remember at the break room at work where I was in textiles, everybody knew I was a Christian. And I went into the break room, and as soon as I said, somebody said something to me, and I said, well, if Jesus will let me, if it's Jesus' will, the whole break room went silent again. There's something about that name. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Love the name of the Lord above all others. You know, I've seen where, you know, when you're in love and you got the sheep eyes and the goo-goo eyes and all your Twitter pated, as Thumper would say it in the movie Bambi. You see, when somebody goes to try out a pen in the office supply stores and so on, they'll write something like, Philip plus Gertrude forever. Or Philip loves Gertrude forever. Or Mikey loves Agnes. Or something like that, if Agnes is their name. They'll write it down there. Skipper plus, what would be another name? Matilda. You know, forever. And that's what you do. Now, I always found myself after Jesus saved me and I'm testing out a new pen I'm thinking about buying. I put Jesus loves me or Jesus is Lord. You know, it captivates that name that is above every name. There's a name, I mentioned earlier we sing so many songs about that name. Let's just take a few right here. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We sang this not too long ago. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Then there was a song, we don't sing it so much anymore, but we used to in the older days. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Jesus' name, what does it say? Precious name, precious name. Oh, so sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh so sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Jesus, 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 sweetest name. Oh, we did that one, I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. And then there's a Jesus. Oh, how is it, was that note? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. How about another one? Jesus. No, that's not how it goes. That's always a good way to start, though. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, precious Redeemer, coming soon. Yeah, it's been a while since we sang some of these. I love that song, The Great Physician, is the great physician about Jesus, because the great physician now is here. There's something, Jesus. It's been so long since I sang that one, but I love the chorus, which goes like this. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Do we have that one in our songbook? The Great Physician? Do you remember, Connie? Some of you that know your songbooks better could chime in any moment. The Great Physician. Oh, no, he's not in the songbook here. But listen to those words, and when you sing them from the hymn, Great Physician, sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Well, you know, when we sing that song, we're fulfilling this part of the prayer. We're hallowing his name, we're glorifying his name, we're singing of his name, we're cherishing his name. We're expressing what he's done for us, that precious Lord Jesus. And then it means to give God the glory for everything that is good. Hallowed be thy name. How do we hallow it? By giving him glory for everything that is good. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Amen. Nextly, don't be ashamed to honor his name before others. Never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. He was stripped naked, but he wasn't ashamed of you. He was beaten to the very measure of his life for you, but he wasn't ashamed of you. He's never been ashamed to own you as his child. And so Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32, 33, he said, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. The scripture says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings. Usually people are afraid, and people of authority, or people with wealth, or people with popularity or fame or any other earthly honor. But no, the Christian says, along with the Psalms, that I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Again, the scripture says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do all in his name. That's hallowing his name. There's a story of a missionary, a white man, who had gone to one of the African port cities, and he had been there years, and now it was time for him to retire and go home. And as he's getting ready to sail off for America, one of the men who was the first to hear the gospel from his lips, one of the men who is now going to be leading the church, as they were sending off, the one was up on the bow of the ship or the aft of the ship and speaking to his African brother. The African brother raises his voice and says to the missionary, my brother, what again is that precious Savior's name that delivered me from the darkness of my sin? I never want to forget it. What is his name? And the missionary was a little bit embarrassed, but he spoke in the embarrassed tones and said, his name is Jesus. The African brother then, who is now going to be the pastor of the church there, said, what is that most glorious, precious, sweetest name of the Savior who delivered me from death and hell? The missionary spoke out and said, his name is Jesus. The African pastor, wanting everybody to hear the gospel, wanting everybody to know about the Lord, said, "Oh, my dear brother, lest I ever forget that most precious name that I called on in prayer to deliver me and show me what is life, to show me what it is to be forgiven of all my sins, to bring me into relationship with a great creator of the universe. What is his name?" And the missionary was no longer embarrassed. We had learned now that the boldness of owning the name of Jesus, he didn't care what anybody thought. Now that only that Jesus be glorified, said, "Oh, my dear brother, that glorious, most precious, most sacred, most hallowed name, that most joyful name is the Lord Jesus Christ." And then they were with that, soon were out of shouting distance of each other. Never be ashamed to own the name of Jesus. Now as we apply the message, and before we dismiss soon, so as we seek God in prayer, we've been taught now we come to Him as loving children, to a loving Father who is high above all things. While other kids may brag about their dads, we can brag about ours the most. Amen. My dad has a shotgun. Well, my dad uses lightning bolts. Amen. Earthquakes. Thunderstorms, right? We come to Him as loving children, to a loving Father who is high above all things. And we come to pray for things that would bring Him glory, or things that He would be pleased to answer, or things that He's promised to give us already in His Word. It's to be our supreme desire that God is honored in our hearts, from our lips, and by our lives. Number two, we are to ask God to compel all men everywhere to reverence His name. We can't do it, but God can do it. So we can ask God, "God, compel all these men, the men in my neighborhood, the men where I work, the men I have to deal with, to reverence Your name." The Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And then the Bible says, "God has also highly exalted Him," the Son, the Lord Jesus, "has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Lastly, we are to pray that anything and everything that obscures or takes away from God's holy name may perish, and that His holy and saving name may be loved. And we can pray this scripturally, because the day is coming where even Satan himself will fall to his knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the chief. He's the monarch. He's the emperor. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all power in heaven and earth. You know, and it says, "Hallowed be Your name." We should take that personally as well as we close. Lord, hallowed, sweet, special, sacred be Your name in my mind and in my thoughts and on my lips and in my heart and in my home and in my church and in where I work and in our community, Lord, in our county, our state. Let Your name be lifted up. Let it be lifted up throughout the world. The Bible says one day it will happen, that God's name will be exalted and His righteousness proclaimed as the waters cover the sea. Pray with me then. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us and giving us Your Son. We have no righteousness of our own. Our own righteousness are as filthy rags. But Lord, thank You for the gift of Your love that provided us a righteousness which is pleasing, well-pleasing in Your sight, and brings You joy. It's in that gift of Yours, Father, that we ask You that You would let us learn to cherish and hallow Your name. Lord, I know that we, when we hear Your name taken in vain, it hurts like no other word hurts. There are all kinds of curse words we hear might disgust us. But to Lord, to hear Your name taken in vain, or Your name to be used flippantly, or Your name to be used as a joke, Lord, that hurts us. We're jealous for the glory of Your name. Lord, I pray that we might live in such a way that we hallow Your name not only by our thoughts, our prayers, our praises, our songs, but by our life as well. In Jesus' name we ask it. For your glory we ask it. Amen. All right.